Chapter 61. The Zodiac pounded over the choppy swells, careening off small chunks of ice as a freezing mist sprayed into the air. The pilot kept the throttle open until approaching a wide expanse of unbroken ice that stretched from the shoreline. Finding a section with a sloping front edge, he drove the inflatable boat up and onto the sea ice. The hardened hull of the Zodiac slid several feet before mashing to a halt against a low knoll. Seated near the stern, Zack waited for the geology team to exit the boat before he stepped out, following a guard carrying a hunting rifle whose sole job was to ward off any inquisitive bears. "Pick us up a mile down the coast in exactly 2 hours," Zack ordered the pilot, waving an arm to the west. Then he helped shove the Zodiac back into the water and watched as the rubber boat sped to the Otak, idling a half mile away. Zack could have stayed in the warmth of his cabin, reading a biography of Wild Bill Hickok that he had brought along, but he feared the geologists would dawdle in the cold. What actually drove him ashore, he didn't want to admit, was the disappointment he felt with their geological assessment of the Mid-America mining camp. While it was hardly a surprise when they confirmed the rich ground content of zinc and iron on the south side of the island, he had expected that some trace elements of ruthenium might be present. But none were found. The geologists, in fact, found no evidence of any platinum-related elements in the exposed stratum. It meant nothing, he assured himself, since he knew exactly where the ruthenium would be found. Digging into the pocket of his parka, he pulled out the journal pages that he had stolen from the miners' co-op. In heavy charcoal was a hand-drawn circular diagram that clearly resembled West Island. A small X was marked on the northern shore of the island. At the top of the page, a different hand had written Royal Geographical Society Islands with a quill pen in a Victorian script. It was, according to an earlier page in the journal, the copied diagram of an Inuit map for where the Adelaide seal hunters had obtained the ruthenium they oddly called Black Kabluna. Zack matched the contours with a modern map of the islands and identified the targeted spot slightly west of their landing site. "The mine should be a half mile or so down the coastline," he announced after the group had hiked over the ice to a rock-covered beachfront. "Keep your eyes open." Zack marched off down the beach ahead of the geologists, anxious to make the discovery himself. The cold seemed to fade away as he envisioned the potential riches that waited just down the coast. Goyette would already owe him for ridding the Canadian Arctic of American investors. Finding the ruthenium would be frosting on the cake. The rugged shoreline was fronted by an undulating series of gullies and bluffs that climbed toward the island's interior. The ravines were filled with hard-packed ice, while the hilltops were bare, creating a mottled pattern like the dappled coat of a gray mare. Trudging well behind Zack, the geologists moved tentatively in the cold weather, stopping frequently to examine exposed sections of the hillsides and collect samples of rock. Reaching his target area without finding physical evidence of a mine, Zack anxiously paced back and forth until the geologists drew near. "The mine should be in this vicinity," he shouted. "Search the area thoroughly." As the geologists fanned out, the security guard waved Zack over to the edge of the sea ice. Splayed at the man's feet, he found the mutilated carcass of a ringed seal. The mammal's flesh had been torn from its skin in large, jagged chunks. The guard pointed to the animal's skull, where a wide set of claw marks had scratched through the skin. "Only a bear would have left a mark like that," the guard said. "By the look of the decay, it was a fairly recent meal," Zack replied. "Keep a sharp lookout, but don't mention this to our scientific friends. They're already distracted enough by the cold." The polar bear never materialized, and, to Zack's dismay, neither did the ruthenium. After an hour of diligent searching, the frozen geologists staggered to Zack with confused looks on their faces. "The visual results are on par with the south side of the island," said one of the geologists, a bearded man with droopy hazel eyes. "We see some outcrop mineralization with signs of iron, zinc, and a bit of lead content. There's no obvious evidence of platinum group ores, including ruthenium. However, we'll have to assay our samples back on the ship to definitely rule out its presence." "What about indications of a mine?" Zack asked. The geologists all looked at each other and shook their heads. Any mining performed by the Inuit 160 years ago would be by primitive means at best, the lead geologist said. There would have been evidence of surface disruptions. Unless it is under one of these ice sheets, we didn't see any such indications. I see, Zack said in a pallid tone. All right, back to the ship then. I want to see your assay results as soon as possible. As they marched across the sea ice to their pickup site, Zack's mind churned in bewilderment. It didn't make sense. The journal was clear that the ruthenium had come from the island. Was it possible that the ore had all played out in a small quantity? Was there a mistake in the journal, or was it all a ruse? As he stood waiting for the Zodiac to arrive, he stared offshore, suddenly spotting a turquoise research ship bearing down on the island. His bewilderment quickly turned to rage.